Adam HaRishon.
Okay. So first of all, that itself is a very interesting argument. You feel, what do you think about it?
I think that
you start with one. You start with the Shabbos, or you build up the Shabbos.
Well, I mean, it may connect our perspective on, you know, how we see Shabbos during the week, based on maybe it's a missile and Mesa. But I was more fascinated by the notion of this person is a new identity, and he by coming to the new bar, you know, he has to start over. And when we start over, what does that mean?
In terms of the world, in terms of mankind, and so on. It's hard to know. It could be many things. But again, from the perspective of everything revolving around Shabbos, so does that mean you build up to it? Does that require some sort of anticipation and achana?
Well,
or does it mean that everything is in the aftermath of Shabbos? Like, as I'm saying, Abdullah is still Yom Shlishi. There's the before the after Shabbos, and there's the before Shabbos. But you don't start the beginning of the week before Shabbos, you start the beginning of the week after Shabbos, in a way. Right.
What?
I said, in a way, you start the beginning of the week, not so towards Shabbos. Well, you do, you don't. I mean, it's Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. So you're counting towards Shabbos, but at another level, you're also still in the shadow of Shabbos. Right. So you have both those perspectives. Or, as you say, whether you look at him, think it literally, like the Gemara says, the perspective of Adam HaRishon, the perspective of Bria Solomon. It's interesting. Either way, it sounds like an interesting argument. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Nesvei?
Nesvei, I'm a leaf of Derek, and I'm a leaf of the Shabbat. The Shabbat of the Chad is Yishu Yishah. My love, I'm a leaf of the Shabbat, and I'm a leaf of the Chad. Lo, the Shabbat of the Chad, I'm a leaf of the Chad. It should say,
it says the other formulation should have said that. The Ode.
The Ode, Tanya, Hayam Halef, Bederek, Ove Midbar, Venu Yemetashabat, Venesh Shah, Mishamir Yom Echad.
Okay, so now it's established that what we do is we count and then we. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, but so far we just don't know anything about the nature of this observance of Shabbos. Now we're about to find out a little bit more. Okay?
Amar Rava, b'kol yom v'yom oseh lo k'dei parnasato. Bar mehu yom.
So what does that mean? Every day he's allowed to do
melacha to the extent that he needs to survive that day.
Now, the truth is the Gemara doesn't say that exactly, but that's how almost all the Rishonim interpret. The Bahag apparently interprets differently. Again, Rav Engel in his Gulyoni HaShas quotes this Bahag also. Bahag, I think, in Perek Vav, Hilchos Shabbos, or Perek Hei, Hilchos Shabbos, interprets the Sugya not in terms of Pikuach Nefesh, but in terms of Hachana. It's a very interesting perspective. But the issue isn't, the simple pshat is, we're talking about doing Melachos Asuros, and it's being Mutar Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. He says, no, not necessarily melachos asuros. Anything that that allows you to survive, can you do for the sake not only of today, but of tomorrow, the day after, the rest of the week, the rest of the month, and so on? Can you get ahead of yourself? Bahag thinks that the issue is a problem of hachana. On the chance, on the 1 in 7 chance that this is Shabbos, are you mechin L'chol or not? That might be a different perspective. Okay. Go ahead. But either way, if we're talking about Kinei Parnassos, there's another point to make, and that's the Yerushalmi. I saw the Yerushalmi? Quotation of the Yerushalmi?
No.
Some of the Rishonim quoted as well. Brian?
That you should count 7 and 6 and on.
But yeah, we'll get to that also. That's very important. But also in terms of this issue, which is what you're allowed to do, it's not Kedei Parnasaso, but Kedei Mechiyaso. What's the difference between Kedei Parnasaso and Kedei Mechiyaso? Is there a difference? Well, some Rishonim say there's a difference. But there's the Ruah, the Meiri. Yeah, Sam?
The Meiri, I mean, the explanation for the reason why you don't have to fast on Shabbos.
On the personal Shabbos.
Yeah, is that he's only making enough food per day for him to survive. And so to starve for a day,
right,
would it kill him?
Exactly. So then the Orzarua also says this, that they said, if according to the Bavli, so it's Kedei Parnasaso, so that sounds like it's a little more of a Revach. Not that you're allowed to, you know, go overboard necessarily, but, you know, if it's Bikoch Nefesh, so you make, a meal, a couple of meals. Kedei Mechiyaso of the Yerushalmi sounds like it's literally survival, subsistence level. You're right, that's exactly where they bring it in. They ask the question, why are you allowed to do this every single day, at least on the personal Shabbos, we'll call it, why not fast? Right, the answer is, like the Rishalmi, and every day you're just barely surviving, so then there's a Pikoch Nefesh every day. According to the Bavli, if indeed Kedei Parnasaso is a little bit more, so, you know, after 6 days of, not banquets exactly, but decent level of existence, so maybe you can hold out for a day. So some of the Rishonim say, in Achanani, if you can do it, you should do it. Other Rishonim say, you shouldn't even try to do it. So we'll get to that. We need to discuss that. But Kedei Parnasaso, Kedei Mechiyaso might be different levels. Okay, how much... Again, if the Bahag is correct, that this is about Hachana Liyom Machar, and it's not about Malacha B'Bikoch Nefesh B'Chil Shabbos, then certainly it would just be Kedei Parnasaso. You can do whatever you want for the day, as long as it doesn't involve Malacha. The only thing is, you don't want to, it shouldn't be, you know, Al-Ser, it shouldn't be, it should be a Malacha Yisodayim, but it shouldn't be any more than that. If we're talking about Bikoch Nefesh, so that's an interesting question in general. Whenever there's a Hetz of Bikoch Nefesh, so to what extent do you have to limit it to the minimum? Right, that could be a Hutra Dechuya question. It could be a question according to the Mandamar Hutra or according to the Mandamar Dechuya, depending on how you understand those concepts. We're not going to go into them right now. But it's very possible that perspectives of like Hutra Dechuya will come into play. Rimbush Yurim, and so on. Okay. In any case, what we're being told so far is that every day there's a kind of Shmir Shabbos too. Right, we didn't know this previously. Previously we thought that for 6 days there's Chol and one day there's Shabbos. Now the Gemara has introduced the concept that every day has an element of Shmir Shabbos. Either for Yisra Chana, Liyom Baharos, according to the Bahag, or according to the rest of Rishonim, where you need Pikuach Nefesh. And where the question could be raised, not only with regard to that seventh day, but maybe even the other days. Let's say there's a particular day where you don't need to do any malacha because you had a nice meal the day before or the night before. Before the night before. Your shal shudas, your pseudo shal shudas, the night before, the day before was very appetizing. Okay, and very filling. So then the question of, should you be compromising every single day becomes an important question. Is there some special yichus on the seventh day for that, or does that apply to all days? Not clear. Okay. Go ahead. So we now know that there's something called Shmiras Shabbos for the other 6 days. We just have to still analyze the extent of it and why it's so. After all, but why not just say Malka Moro or something like that? Okay. Go ahead. So the Gemara says, yeah, I mean, and on that day you don't do any malacha?
Well,
if he has no, he can't have a sub. So if he, yesterday had two, maybe this day won't be that. Yeah. The only way I can
have a sub, okay, yesterday was Shabbos, you can't do it, but two parasol, yesterday was Shabbos.
Right.
Either from a Pikuach Nefesh or a Hachana point of view or both. Go ahead. Now, if we don't have a sub,
okay, so what's going on here? So it turns out that from the beginning of the sugya till this point in the sugya, a lot has changed. At least it did for me. Meaning you start out with the impression that a person gets lost in the midbar, and it's like he has, it's his own, like you said, it's like his own, Brias Shemayim Baretz, it all starts all over again for him. Even to the extent that we're trying to figure out, is he like... is he like Adam Arishon and Yom Shishi, or is he like the Tohu Vavohu of the first day? What comes first? So all of that might have implied that you know, like that, you know, very, very famous precedent. You have 6 days of kol, and then you have a day of Shabbos. And one would think that, that's exactly what it is. It's a personal concept of Shabbos. And from that point of view, there should be no nihugim, perhaps one would think, but there should be no nihugim of Shabbos on the 6 day, and that there should be excessive dinei Shabbos on the 7th day. Now, it turns out, in the end of the sugya, on a practical level at least, but things have changed. It turns out that the 6 days, there's a lot of Shmir Shabbos going on, there's only Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh. Right? But on the 7th day, same Pikuach Nefesh, same degree of Malacha that's going on the other days is going on the 7th day. The only difference is Kiddush V'Avdalta. Okay. But my Minkar B'Kiddush V'Avdalta. And one wonders about the term Minkar. Right. Is the Gemara saying in what way practically is it different? Or is the Gemara also telling us that this difference is only in terms of minkar? Meaning, it's almost like a symbolic difference. How significant is the 7th day? That's one of the things we're interested in. Okay. Amar Rava.
Amar Rava. Yom Yom
Yeah. Okay. So the end of the Gemara, I think, is a double pasha. I don't think there's much to say about that. Then, if he knows the day that wasn't Shabbos, and all we're trying to point out, you know, not only is he allowed to do malacha on that day, but he's really obligated to do as much as he can, so that he won't have, you know, he would have to, you know, to rely on the hetzer pikuach nefesh of the other days. Again, if we're talking about the Bahag and it wasn't a matter of isur malacha, then there, you know, there wouldn't be a problem to be making kol yom la'atzma. But if we're talking about pikuach nefesh, obviously that should be avoided if possible. Okay. But what the challenge in the sugya is, to what extent do we view this Shabbos of Mahalik Bamidbar as a real Shabbos? And the question has to be dealt with, I think, on two levels. One is, to what extent does this have the real status or stature of Shabbos? And you know, the related question, the contrast between this Shabbos and the other 6 days, to what extent do the other 6 days have a tzura and a status of Shabbos? So, we're going to have to talk in 1 minute, but let's just get at least the basic formulations out there, and then we'll pursue the details next time. So, Yerushalmi, you didn't see, or you did see?
No. Not see.
So, Ephraim mentioned Yerushalmi. What's Yerushalmi's strategy?
He would do 7, 6, 5, and 4, and that way, once every couple of weeks, you'll have back in the right day.
Correct. You rotate the days of your Shabbos. Not like our Bavli. If you do 6 and 7, and that 7th day becomes your personal Shabbos in the world which only you inhabit. But on the contrary, you rotate Shabbos every week to increase the likelihood that at least at some point in time you are you're going to be observing the real Shabbos. So according to the Yerushalmi, basically the real focus of Mahalik Bamidbar is to find the Shabbos, which is Kavua V'Kaima, Misheshes Yimei Breishis. There is really no separate stature or status whatsoever to the personal Shabbos. There's no such thing as a personal Shabbos. There are just strategies to at least minimize your Chilul Shabbos. So at least every 7 weeks, I guess, I'll be observing Shabbos. There's something to that, too. It's better to ensure, this is important point to that, to ensure proper observance of Shabbos every 7 weeks, even though I'm also ensuring, you know, that I'm ignoring, again, on a certain level, Kiddush V'Avdalta at least, for 6 of the 7, that it is to, you know, to take a chance and to pick a day, and maybe you're going to have, you know, observing Shabbos all the time, you know, but maybe you're never going to be observing it either. That itself is an interesting choice. But certainly there's no concept of personal Shabbos at all. there's only strategies for increasing the likelihood that at some point you're going to come in contact with the real shaman. Okay. Similarly, in the Rishonim, that's the Rishonim. The Babli clearly doesn't hold that way. So the question is, the Babli, it doesn't hold that way. Is it because they'd rather take a chance? Right, better it is, you know, to go for the gold, as they say, even though you might miss completely, but you might get seven Shabbases, right? Better do that than to ensure six misses, you know, and a seventh attainment. Is that the argument? Or, within the Babli, can we say, you know, it's like Kimbriyasa Shalolam, on a certain level, there's something called a personal Shabbos. Not to exclude the real Shabbos that the rest of the world is observing. Obviously, that plays a role as well. No one's going to say that because you're lost in Midbar, the rest of the world doesn't exist at all, and Shabbos doesn't exist. No one, I don't think anybody's going to say that. But what we are saying is you're part of the world, but unfortunately, you're disconnected from the world at the moment. And therefore, you have a very almost impossible task ahead of you in terms of integrating with the Shabbos of the real world. But if you can't integrate with the Shabbos of the real world, at least you can fashion a personal Shabbos in your personal world that only you exist in, and there's meaning and significance to that as well. Is it such a notion in the Babli, or not? Or, no, it's not the Ushalmi, but it's better to make this gamble. Or, maybe it's not even that. It's the idea simply of Shalot Tishtakach Toras Shabbos. Namely, you're going to be in Midbar for a while. Some people are in Midbar for 40 years, right? So, you know, it's if you're never going to have Shabbos for 40 years, you know, there's a chance that, you know, once you get out, eventually, or your children, or your grandchildren, whoever they are, then they're not going to know it, you know, it wouldn't even be Yodea Iker Shabbos V'Shakcha. Right? So, Shalom Tishtakach Torah Shabbos, it's like, you know, Shalom Tishtakach Torah Lulav. You know, the Gemara in Sukkah says, you know, if you have a Lulav Yavesh, that's all there is. You know, so they are Mauritian as Lavayam, Lavadayam. So some of the Rishonim say, in a bracha on it, and Pidiyevet, it was a good lulav. And the Ravid says, and a lot of Rishonim say, no, Shalot Tishtakach Toras Lulav. There's something to keeping the memory alive. And there's also an interesting hashkafa / halacha question in that too. I mean, is there something to keep the memory of alive of something for which there's no substance? Is the idea of Shabbos disengaged from or disentangled from the actual observance of the real day of Shabbos? Is it worth anything? Right. Now we've been having this issue in all sorts of forms, but we could be mechalik, right? Is knowing that there are 39 Avos Melacha, but knowing not a single one of them, is it worth anything? Right. Is knowing that there's a concept of Shabbos without knowing any of its details or knowing them all wrong worth anything? The level of ignorance may undermine also the level of knowledge. It's not just that if there's no practical application, so there's no conceptual value either. Here, it's a little bit different. It's not that the question is you can't implement for reasons that are beyond your control, but that doesn't mean that it could be meaningful for you to keep alive the concept of Shabbos. So the interesting thing is, within the Babli we have to look, is this a din shalot tishtakach Torah Shabbos? Right? Is it even more than that? Is it about a personal Shabbos? Or it's about neither of those? The Ritva has a second daya. Avi, Isan? Ritva? Ritva has two dayas. What's the second daya? What's the reason that we do this this procedure of counting Shabbos and then... One is like Rashi says, Shalot Tishtakach Torah Shabbos, right? And then the Ritva says, Inami. What's Inami, Yomi? It'll jog his memory. You know, if he keeps Shabbos every 7 days, he's going to hit him all of a sudden. I don't know whether that's a mystical, spiritual thing or something more practical. It doesn't matter to me at the moment. But the point is that the Inami of the Ritva, in a way, is like the Yerushalmi. You know, without the question of the betting and the insuring, but in the sense that, just like according to the Rishonim, there's no concept of a personal Shabbos. Not even in Shalot, there's no general concept of Shalot Tishtakach Torah Shabbos either, possibly. Or at least it's not indicated by the Sugya. For the Yerushalmi, it's all about finding the Shabbos, which is Kavur HaKayim and Misheshes Vebrei. For the second day of the Ritzvah, it's also about finding the real Shabbos that the rest of the world is observing, that's Kavur HaKayim and Misheshes Vebrei. However, according to Rashi, more than that, Shul Tishnakach Torah is Shabbos. The only thing we're not sure in Rashi is, and therefore they made it into a quasi-real Shabbos, or is it just a strategy? It could be an empty strategy, meaning it's the day has no content, no form, really, no status in its own right, just that, you know, if you don't pick a day out of seven consistently, you're going to forget the concept of Shabbos. It's not clear in Rashi. And again, what is the importance of having the concept of Shabbos? So it could be so that when you leave, you'll be able to observe it. Again, very pragmatic. That's certainly understandable. Or is there something, as I said, even without implementing it, to having this concept with us? Yodea Iker Shabbos? Why should it be such a notion? Well, as we said, Tinuk Shanishba, you know, he's Chayev al Dam Echad and Chelav Echad and Shabbos Echad. Meaning, there's a one concept of Shabbos too. Just the concept, the pure and simple, that he's shogeg on. So this idea that maybe it's even more than Shlo Tishtakach for Chinuch purposes of the future, and maybe it's even more than just keeping alive the concept in some way, which would be interesting if that's valuable, but that really we're talking about a Tzuras Yom Shabbos that has value. There's a concept of personal Shabbos. If you can't have the rest of if you live in the world, you can't have a personal Shabbos. The personal Shabbos has to be the world Shabbos. Right? You can't be Parish Minat Zibor that way. A, you're responsible to observe the real Shabbos, and B, to be Boda and Milibcha for no reason, you know, your own Shabbos, to be Parish Minat Zibor. So, but I, in addition to the regular Shabbos, it would be so meaningful for me to have a Shabbos every Tuesday. It's the day that I was born. It's the day that I was married. It's the day that I got my first bike. Whatever it is, every Tuesday I'm going to have an additional Shabbos. Not to take away from the real Shabbos. Of course, you can't do that. We would emphatically reject such a notion. But he's Mahalik the Midbar. What?
Baltosif.
Yeah, it's Baltosif. Exactly. That's what I meant. Bodem Elibo. Exactly. So he. But he's Mahalik the Midbar. And there's no issue of Parish Minat Zibor, and there's no access to the real Shabbos, and the only Shabbos he can have is a personal Shabbos. And he lives in his own world, in his own Bria in a way. Is it such a concept or not? It's not clear. The closest you get to it in mainstream, again, if you say Shalot Tishtakach Torah Shabbos means to set up, there's meaning in setting up a Shabbos, not just in having a concept, but is if you would also join that, I guess, with the Magen Avraham. Who says what? One more minute now. What does Magen Avraham say? Add to the equation? Shem?
Magen Avraham says that you're chayv and rabbanan.
Says you're chayv and rabbanan, and he compares it to? Yonta Sheni Shal Golios. Again, the equation to Yonta Sheni Shal Golios is really interesting. Okay, that's a topic in its own right, but certainly a perspective on Yonta Sheni Shal Golios is that, you know, Mishum Ninog, Mishum Drabbanan, wherever it is, they were metakin ayom, metzura sayom. The second day. If you want to go even further, you have to go to the Magid Meisharim and to the Radvaz, which I'm not going to read now because it's too late. But just very briefly, Ellie, you saw it? Didn't see it? Are you? Yeah. So there are two different contexts. Which one did you see, or did you see both? Good. Magid Meisharim. What is he talking about? Evan. Why is it that an Eved... Why is it Eved not go through Shemitah, but he goes free 7 years from the beginning of his... what do you call it? Right? So what's the answer? It's his personal Shemitah. And how do you know you can have a concept of a personal Shemitah? Ki tikna eved ibri makar she'en Shemitah lo tziyasa lo me yotze v'shnas ha-shviyiz. Aval soda inen toli v'mesh omru chazal o mahalach b'midbar b'en yodeh ima sayu shadez. Mona sheishes yamim v'shoves. V'chein le'olam etnei shakol shviyu Shabbos. He calls sviros Shabbos saying, I don't want to get into the... But this is the Magid Meisharim. I mean, this is the... You know, I mean, we're like on Beis Yosef. So, whatever he means. Again, Rosh Engel is the one who points to this. He has a lot of very good malachomos on this topic. But it's the idea of personal. What about the Malach Bamidbar? Shalot Tishtakach Torah Shabbos. Apparently, he understands that it's a personal Shabbos. And the same is true with the Radbaz, who discusses different time zones. So who's keeping the real Shabbos? The people in America or the people in Eretz Yisrael? The people in Hawaii or the people in China or Alaska? Who's keeping the real Shabbos? So what's the Radbaz's answer? Everybody is keeping the real Shabbos in their own way, according to their own personal timetable. But to say, to bring a raya for that, for Mahalik, the Midbar, is remarkable. Because everybody in an overlapping sense of time, you know, at different points, like right now in China, right now in Alaska, right now in Hawaii, right now and so on. But still, you know, there's a certain, that's because the world is revolving. You know, that's what they say. To say that that's the idea of Mahalik Bamidbar is radical. But that's the idea of the Radbaz. Namely, there's a concept of personal Shabbos. If there really is a concept of personal Shabbos, according to these formulations, or even from a Shalom Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias model, or Shalom Tishtakach Torah Shabbos, then one would expect, A, that there be more than Kiddush V'Havdalah, B, that the discrepancy between what happens on day 7 and what happens on the first 6 days be greater. That's what we're going to pursue Thursday when we finish this off, and hopefully we'll start Helam Zev Zev, Kul Parish and Helam Zev Zev.